chapter 132. And there's a little bit less to be said about chapter 132. The chapter, you will remember, is a song of the ascent. And by the way, later today we will talk about what Shir HaMa'alot means. We didn't talk about that last week. Where David says, remember, God, remember all of David's suffering and his oath. David took an oath that he's not going to rest, he's not going to sleep in the lap of luxury, he's not going to live in a luxurious manner until he finds a place for God, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Yaakov. And says that this was his goal, this was his objective. And he speaks to Nathan HaNavi and he says to him, listen, behold, I'm living in a house of cedar and God is in a tent. So this is one of his great desires, passion in life. And finally, he finally achieves it. And we have a number of famous psukim in chapter 132. You know where those psukim are said?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah, that's, yeah. And then also, in Ato HaReis Oladar from the Simchus Taret Naim, Kohanecha, they always get a coin, Kohanecha, Yilvishim Tzedek,
That's right.
I did it well. That's how they sing it. Of course. And then, of course, you have the great prophet Ki Bochar Hashem v'Tzion. God has chosen Tzion Eva. He desires Tzion, the most of lower place where he will live. An amazing chapter. So now, one of the questions that we were dealing with is when did David find out where the place of the Mishkan is? Where the Beit HaMikdash is to be built? We read the chapter in Divrei Hayamim, chapter 21, where we're told that toward the end of his life David counts, he takes the census of the Jewish people, which he should not have done, and a malach descends from heaven and stands suspended over Yerushalayim with his sword outstretched, ready to destroy. And then God, the seer, the Navi, God comes from God to speak to David. And he tells David that this man did something terrible and there's going to have to be punishment. Choose what it is, war, this, that, or a plague 3 days from God. So he says, Vayomer David el God, David said to God, and this we say in davening also after Shmoneser, Niplo Nabiyav Hashem, better that I fall into the hands of God, Ki Rabim Rachamah, because God's mercy is great. And it is then that the malach is standing over the threshing floor of Arabna or Ornon HaYebusi, the Jebusite, upon the Har HaBayit. And God tells David to make an altar there. He purchases the place. We read the psukim where he insists that he's going to purchase it. And it's really the mountain we're talking about, the Temple Mount. And it's only after David finally purchases it that he can say, Har HaBayit v'yadeinu. Ani chozer, Har HaBayit v'yadeinu. That's what David
said.
Not him. That was Moshe Dayan. I'm talking about David HaMelech. David HaMelech purchases it, yes. No, Yerushalayim was conquered. And that's why I asked, if he conquered Yerushalayim, why didn't he finish the conquest by taking Har HaBayit? So that we said, the son of the Roshim explained that a place that would ultimately be the symbol of peace for all mankind. Remember those are the famous psukim in Isaiah, the Isaiah wall of the United Nations, you understand, the poor Yeshayahu, that there's an Isaiah wall at the United Nations, where it says that the nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and they shall no longer wage war. And the fact is that it says over there in Yeshayahu, all the nations of the world are going to flow towards Zion. And they're going to say, come, let us go. Let us go up to Har Beit Hashem, the mountain of the house of God, our God. So that was the great prophecy of Yeshua, of Yeshayahu. So since peace is to come to the world from that place, David did not want to take it by military conquest. In addition to the fact that by military conquest, there's always going to come somebody at some later date who says that this is illegal and it doesn't belong to you. But if you purchase something for, full price, Kesef Malay, that's exactly what he did, get it? And all charged and contributed. It was 600 shekel. How to divide 612, what do you get? 50 shekel of silver per tribe, so that all of them had a share in it. And that's the way he wanted it. This is the way it should be done. And, of course, and despite that, there are those who, we know that the plan. Huh? An upper low, yes, purchased below the in Dreh Harain, you understand, and there above Dreh. When did he find out? Now, according to the story that we read in Divrei Hayamim, it means this is toward the end of his life. Now, there are two other sources in the Gemara, and I'm just going to read and translate those two Gemaras. There's one in Masechet Makot, Daf Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says the following: Amar of Yehuda Amar, just sit back and relax. You'll hear what the Gemara has to say. Rabbi Yehuda said, in the name of Rav, Kill Lat Chacham Afil Bechinam Hivah. Kill Lat Chacham, when a wise man curses, even if it is for naught. In other words, you'll see what it's going to mean. Even if it's conditional, the curse is ultimately fulfilled. We know him. How do we know it? From Achitophel. Achitophel was one of the advisors of David. What ultimately happened, of course, with Achitophel was a tragedy. Achitophel joined forces with Avshalom in his rebellion against his father David. And ultimately there was something that Avshalom asked of his advisors, and Achitophel, the fact is that Achitophel advised him well, and there was somebody else who was a plant from David's side who advised him incorrectly. It was a question. David had already fled to Jerusalem. He had already passed Har HaTzotzim, Har HaZeitim. He's on his way towards the Yarden, and Avshalom Avshalom has now entered Yerushalayim and taken over. What a tragedy! Such a tragedy! The son that he loved so much turned against his father. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so he asks his advisors, "What should he do?" So Avshalom, Achitophel says, "Go after him now. Night is falling, but you must pursue him, because your father, you're going to give him overnight until tomorrow. He's capable of rising again with such strength that you'll never be able to get him. Now is the time. Finish him now." And then one of David's people, whom they think has come to their side, says, No. There's no necessity whatsoever. You don't have to go after him. You don't have to go after him now. He's wounded, and he's finished. Just wait." Anyway, Avshalom decided to wait. Achitophel, with his wisdom, understood that the rebellion is now going to fail. He was absolutely right. David regrouped with his forces, and he returned to capital, remember, Avshalom is caught with his hair in a tree. Achitofel, of course, his advice was not accepted. Got onto his donkey. He went home. He was Achitofel Hagiloni. You know what a Giloni is? That what it says? It says
yes.
Giloni?
Yeah, chapter 16.
No, it wasn't it true that your Tanakh went there by yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Achitofel Hagiloni, you know why he was called Hagiloni? He lives in Gilo.
Gilo.
Gilo is not a new Nahalot. Gilo was around in the days of Achitofel. Understand? So regardless of what the American government says about Gilo, Achitofel was a Giloni. Yeah, okay. And he hung himself. He committed suicide. Now, let's hear the story behind it. The Gemara says, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the curse of a Chacham, even if it is for naught, it still happens. Minolam have we only Achitofel from Achitofel. Shebishah shekoro David shitin, when David excavated the foundations for the temple, you hear? That means this is the point in time where it seems David knows where the Beth Hamikdash is. He dug the foundation for the temple, Kofo Tahoma, the Tahom. The waters of the deep started rising from the very depths of the earth, and it seemed nothing can stop them. Bol the Nishtabola Alma, and they threatened to flood the world. Omar, David said, Man Lichto Shem Achafa, he asked the Shiloh his advisors, can you write the name of God on a shard and put it into the water so that maybe the Shem Hashem will cause the waters to recede? So he asked his advisors, Lekid Amale Midi. Nobody answered him. Silence. So David said again, Kol Hayodea Dovah Zeveinu Omro, anybody who knows what the halacha is, can I write the name of God on a piece of pottery and put it into the water? And he doesn't tell me, Veinu Omro, Yechomek Begrono, let him strangle by his throat. Notzachi Toko Kal Vachomer, the Notzachi Toko said the following Kal Vachomer. Torah says, this was in Parashat Noso. God says, when there's a case of a woman of Sosa, what do you do with a Sosa? So one of the things is the Kohen is supposed to write Parashat Sosa, and he puts it into the bitter waters, the accursed waters. And God says, Mutav is better, Sheimokesh me, that my name will be erased by the waters. That's better. In order to resolve the problem being Lishtov. So he says, Omar, the Kal Vachomer that Achitofel made was the following, Umala, so shalom being Lishtov. In order to make peace between a husband and wife, Omar, Torah, the Torah said, Shmi, my name, Shenechtav, the Kedusha that was written in holiness, Yimocha al Hamayim, let it be erased by the waters. Certainly now, when we're talking about saving the lives of who knows how many people, because the waters are beginning to rush up from the depths, and nothing is standing in its way, so he tells David, sure, go ahead, do it. Shahi, mutter to do it. So it says that David went ahead, and he did precisely that. He wrote the name of Hashem on a piece of, on a shard of pottery. He threw it into the excavation, and the waters began to recede. Philohophic says, and despite the fact that means Achitofel has fulfilled what it was that David wanted of him. And David had said, anybody who knows the answer to my question, and doesn't tell me, will be strangled. But Chilalat Chacham has a way that ultimately it will become, it will be fulfilled. And therefore it says, when Achitofel saw that his advice was not taken by Avshalom, by Yakbo Shechachamor, he saddled the donkey, by Yakum he got up, by Yelech El Beito El Ido, he went to his city, to his house, to his city, by Yitzhak and Plato, he wrote his will by Yechonik, and he strangled himself, he hung himself. Even the way the pasuk is written, it's written with a sense of such determination and destiny. He knows exactly what he is going to do, and he does it. For our purposes, what emerges from this Gemara, this story of Achitophel was 3 years before the time that David counts the people. Now, according to Divrei HaYamim, when we find out where the Beit HaMikdash is, when the angel of God is hovering over the Temple Mount, and he purchases away from Aradna Yehudi, he builds an altar there, and fire comes down from heaven upon that altar. Here, we now have a source that says that he knew 3 years earlier, by the way, Rashi. I'm going to read a Rashi to you. Yes, came of it above. This story about Achitophel, there's a question to be asked. Shade lo kona David is hagorim the Aravna Yerusi as we purge later. Shade purge hoya minu urav. Rashi uses the following term. Yodeya hoya minu urav. David knew from his youth. And more specifically, Rashi says, miyom shenisha, from the day that he was anointed, he knew. And that we learned that last week, that David is sitting with Shaul with Shmuel in Nayob Ramah, and they figure out precisely where the place of the Mikdash is. Alright, anyway, number one, for what emerges from this Gemara, it seems that he knew a few years earlier. Let's go to one other source. The other source is the Gemara in Zvachim, and for all intents and purposes, the Gemara in Zvachim, though we didn't learn it inside, we didn't learn this last week. The Gemara in Zvachim describes the meeting between David and Shaul when David hit David and Shmuel. When David flees from before Shaul, and they're sitting there in Nayod Ramah, and they are figuring out where the place of the Beit HaMikdash is, which means that he knew it much, much earlier. And here, David, sort of in Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, leaves us with the impression that it was much later, toward the very end of his life. In part to be able to resolve these issues, in part what it means is the following. It may very well be that according to the Gemara in Zvachim, David at one point had thought that the Beit HaMikdash was someplace a few kilometers, I think, westward of where it really is. And it may very well be that when he dug and excavated, the excavation was not at the precise site, because the problem with the excavation is he didn't find the Zoran until later. Or even there are even those who say that even though he did not purchase it, but he knew that was the place, and he dug there with the permission of Aravna Hayabusi. He committed him to do so. Yes. Could he have been digging at the Gihon Spring?
And that's where the water came from?
I don't know. There is the only sheet that I've seen is one that says a place called Ein Eitam. And I don't know where precisely Ein Eitam. Ein is the spring. The spring of Eitam. Now the Eitam there is spelled with an ayin and with a tet, not with an aleph and a tav. That's Eitam. This is Eitam with an ayin and a tet. So it may very well be that he knew the place of the Beit HaMikdash was not the place of the Mizbeach. What does he find out in Divrei HaYamim? In Divrei HaYamim, he finds out that where he placed the Mizbeach and the fire from heaven came down, that was the place of the of the Mizbeach. But obviously, the one thing that does emerge from all of this is that this was indeed a lifetime of searching for David until he found the place. And the last thing that we said last week was, I tried to sing a song and I forgot the words, but went crazy, you know. Finally, on Shabbos, I went through all the Zmirons and Shirons and Tilibachotas that we have in the house, and one of them, or some of them, have lists of songs in the back, and we found it. We found it. And I don't remember. Bilvavi Mishkan Edna. In my heart, I'm going to build a Mishkan Lahadar Kavodo to the honor and the glory of God. Ubenishkan Mizbeach Ofen. And in that Mikdash, and in that Mikdash, I'm going to place a Mizbeach, and I will kindle the Nair from the Eish, the fire of Hakedat Yitzchak, that I will use to light the menorah, and I am ready to sacrifice to God my life. So the song represents the idea of a Mishkan within an internal Mishkan. So I say that this whole chapter 132 is not only talking about David's suffering of a lifetime because he wants to find a place for God, he also spends a lifetime trying to find a place for God in him. Bilavavi, in my heart, Mishkan Evna. So that the chapter should be understood on two levels. And even if on one level we may have questions at what time precisely did he find it, certainly with regard to the second, we don't know when he ever found it, but it's always a life work. And you never know, one never knows whether they succeeded until the last moment of life, that even if you found it, you're never sure that you're going to have it with you until that last moment. Now, I'm going to take you from here, directly, and this is very interesting, to the very first of the Shir HaMa'alot, chapter 120. Chapter 120. There are 15 chapters that begin with the word Shir HaMa'alot. One, we will see, begins Shir La Ma'alot. The one that Shir La Ma'alot is 120, 121. All right. The 15 Shir HaMa'alot. So there are all sorts of opinions. What are the ma'alot? So of course, I think the English translation is ascent. It really means step. In the Beit HaMikdash, from Ezrat Noshim to Ezrat Yisrael, the courtyard of the women, to the courtyard of the men, were a total of 16 steps. And the Levim, as they would ascend, would sing one of the Shir HaMa'alot for each one of those steps. There is also, we will see, an opinion that says that if the David HaMelech put in the Shem Hashem into the excavation, he said the 15 Shir HaMa'alot. Why? Because it seems that the Gemara says, don't ask me for an explanation. The Gemara says that the waters came up 16,000 cubits in order to get them down to the 1,000 cubit level, which would be safe for the world. He says, Shir HaMalot, every Shir HaMalot took the waters down 1,000 Amma. 15 Shir HaMalot, 15,000 Amma. The waters had gone up 16,000, but now they went down to 1,000. In other words, the Shir HaMalot were, you know, the levels that the water had begun to rise. Okay. The song Shir HaMalot, Shir HaMalot, El Hashem. There are going to be many more explanations of the word Shir HaMalot, but we'll begin with this. Rashi simply says, Rashi does refer to what we said. First of all, Rashi says that the 15 Shir HaMalot was that the Levim should say on the 15 steps that go from Ezrat Yisrael to the Ezrat Nashim. And our rabbi said that Yizdan David Lahalot HaTahom Shem Oshidu Furis Mitzecher Sukkah, the waters, to straighten out the waters below. And Lamahalot, there is even an opinion that says when he brought Me'ah Olot, 100 sacrifices, he said, Esau. They're unbelievable. And we're going to see, I think we're going to find a theme in them. But let's go. Let's read. Hashem, Tzad Hatzila Nafshi Mitzvah Sheker. Save Nafshi, and I always tell you that I don't like the translation, my soul. We're not talking about a soul. 120. I'm taking it to the beginning. 120. We went back from 132. From 130, now I'm starting at the beginning of the share. Oh, yeah, because I didn't say $100. I didn't say? You got Shir HaMa'alot al Hashem, a song of ascent to God Vatsahotali, in my time of trouble. Kadati Vayaneni, I called unto you, and you answered me. The Karati Vayaneni can be understood in its time frame. It could be read literally, Karati, I called, Vayaneni, and he answered me. And Karati Vayaneni can also mean, I always called, and he answers. It can therefore mean, even in the future, I will call and answer. Or I'm calling right now, and I'm asking of you to answer me. What's the tshuva? What's bothering him? What's the terrible trouble he finds himself in? He says, Hashem. Over here are two psukim in a row where really he begins. He begins by with the Shem Hashem, Hatzila Nafshi Mitzvah Sheker. Save me from live the deceit life. Save his life. Mimashon Mimiyah, from a tongue that is deceitful. There's a difference between Sat Sheker and Lashon Rimiyah. Sat Sheker means such plain a lie, and I know that it's a lie, and I suffer from the lies. By the way, we as Jews have always suffered the lies from the blood libels of the Middle Ages to Janir. We've always suffered from Sfat Sheker. The only advantage to Sfat Sheker is, at least I know that it's Sfat Sheker. I hear it. And if I'm not stupid, I understand that this is an absolute Sheker to life. Lashon Rimiyah, deceit, comes from the word Ramai, love on Haramai, the deceitful person. That's, what they say in the old movies, you understand? The Indian chief says, white man, he would fork up. All right? Lashon Rimiyah, fork tongue. What it means is the following. Leaves the impression of being your best friend. What are you talking about? We have your best interests in mind.
we're keeping it clean today. We're keeping it clean. There are people or nations or politicians who lead you with the impression, I have your best interest in mind. And they don't have your best interest in mind at all. They have their own agenda. The only great voice that De Gaulle ever said. Nations don't have friends. Nations have interests. There's no such thing as just great friendship. If for any reason we would not be in the best interest of the United States, then the truth would come out that we're completely dependent on the rebellious will and nobody else. I'm on a big bitachon because I'm beginning to find that that's true. You know, you reach a certain stage and level of maturity in life when you begin to see the truth a little bit. Hatzila nafshi namish, this could have been said by Jews throughout all of history. Hatzila nafshi v'sheker miloshon rimiyot. David in his personal life certainly had this. He suffered from the lies of Doeg v'adomi. He suffered. Doeg v'adomi is the one who said terrible things about him to Shalom. And there must have been a good number of other people who left the impression that they are his friends. In Tanakh there are the stories about the people of this, the people of Ke'ilah, different people that sort of, he helped them, and they were allies of his, and he wasn't sure whether they would protect him or not hand him over to Shaul. And he had to turn to God and ask him, and God says, the people of Ziph and Ke'ilah, they'll hand you over to God. To Shaul. If they get their hands on you, you can't trust them at all. David personally suffers from spot checker. He suffers from Lashon Rimiyah. Klal Yisrael always suffers from spot checker and Lashon Rimiyah. And the spot checker and the Lashon Rimiyah does not necessarily have to be from non-Jews to Jews. Here by David, we're talking about between Jew and fellow Jews. Magite Nechol Magyotis Loch Lashon Rimiyah. What does it give to you? What advantage? What do you really need to get out of the Lashon Rimiyah? Of course, according to most of the person, he seems to be talking to the forked tongue. And he says, very, 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 like the Gemara at one point says, Not Yitron Labal HaLashon, the public can tell it. What advantage does the person who speaks Lashon Hara, what does he have? What kind of advantage does he have? And he describes Lashon Hara as he says, Gibor Shinunim. The sharpened arrows of the mighty. Because Lashon Hara is something that can cause harm and death just like an arrow. And the arrow is that which can cause harm, a pigula, to the distance. And you know what it's also like? It's in Gahalei Tamim. There is a tree in Eretz Yisrael called a Roten. A Roten. It's in the desert areas. It's a kind of low bush. There's something about the Roten. When you turn its bark or its branches, they're very good coal. They become very good, you know, I don't know if they make charcoal. They're making charcoal. What's unusual about the charcoal of the rotem, it stays burning hot for a long time. Even when the outside of the coal, you look at it, it looks like it's out. Then you touch it. Amen. Amen. I say the following. If we talk about spot sheker and we talk about Lashon Rimiyah, and what did we say the difference between spot sheker and Lashon Rimiyah? Spot sheker, you know the man is lying. Lashon Rimiyah is the one who deceives. You think it's okay, or he's okay, and he's your friend, but he isn't okay. I believe the same imagery is being used here. The Lashon Hara, which is the Sfat Sheker. The Sfat Sheker is out in the open. You see that arrow? Oh, where did it go? But then there's the other fellow who deceives you. You take a look at this coal, it looks like a harmless little coal, and then touch it. Then touch it. And that's the damage and the hurt and the harm that's caused by the Bali Lashon Hara. Oh, Yoli, woe unto me! Woe unto me! Kigarti Meshach, I've lived in Meshach or with the people of Meshach, and I'll explain in a moment. Shachanti, I dwelled in Ole Kedar with the tents of Kedar. Meshach and Kedar are the names of people. They are from the nations of Islam. Meshach is northernmost, someplace around Turkey. It's a name that's mentioned in Tanakh a number of times, beginning yet in Parashat Noach. Kedar, Ole Kedar are the nomad tribes of the Arabian Peninsula. He says, woe unto me, I know what it means. I've lived out there with the people of Meshach. I dwell with the people of Kedar. According to many of the Russian, we'll see how this is going to develop as we go from Shir HaMaalot to Shir HaMaalot. Shir HaMaalot, we will see that some of them, their intention is they're talking about people who are in the process of being Oleh Regel. They are being Oleh Podim Shalayim, and you're going to see very soon. Well, one of the famous ones, Shir HaMaalot, Samachti Ba'omimli, I was so happy when they told me, Beit Hashem Melech, we're going to the house of God. It's a shir that was sung by only the Golem as they made their way to Jerusalem for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. The Shir HaMaalot are also a song of Jews from the Golan who are making their way up to Eretz Yisrael. When God brought us back to Zion, we were like dreamers. So Shir HaMaalot represents, yes, ascending. And there are all sorts of ascents. There are the ascents of Jews coming from Shalayim to the shoulders of the Golan. There is the ascent of Jews coming from Chutzlart. There is the ascent of Jews to Yerushalayim, just coming into Yerushalayim. So here he's talking, this prophet, hey, he's talking, I know what it's all about. Don't tell me, I know what it's all about. I know what it means to live amongst Shalom Yisrael, hundreds of nations. I lived with the people of Meshach, I lived with the people of Kedar, and they really represent the entire, call it Asia Minor, which really is the real term, not really the Middle East. It's Asia Minor, from Turkey all the way down to the all of the Emirates. You know, I've lived with all of these people. I know what they're like. I like the word Garti. Where else do we have the word Garti? In love on Garti. In love on Garti. I live with love on for Echaradata. I take shot over here also, exactly what Rashi says by in love on Garti. The Targat Mitzvot Shamati, and I kept the 613 Mitzvot Garti of the letters Targat. And I say Shachanti also, and Shachanti im Ole Kedar, and you know what Shachanti means? That I had the Shinner with me. Kol Makom, wherever the Gemara, famous Gemara Megillah that says, wherever Israel went into exile, there the Divine Presence went with them. Gol Sol Bavel, they went off to Bavel, Shinner was in Mahem, they come back to Israel, Shinner is with them. The next two Sukkim. Rabba Shachnallah Nafi. A great deal I have dwelt with. My soul has dwelt, meaning I have dwelt. You know who I dwelt? In Sonei Shalom. I live with people who hate peace. Who hate peace. Don't want to live at peace. I live with people who are never going to ever be back now with Shalom. I live with people who are so intelligent. I'm sure if Yossi Sarit would be reading this, he'd learn a completely different shot in this process. And this great process. Ani Shalom. The Chiyad Daber, Hema Lamil Kama. I talk peace. I'm ready to make very painful compromises for peace. And do you know what I get back? They go out on milchama with me. That's one shot. That's the pressure that's got me. And then there's another shot. The other shot is whatever step I take for peace, Hamor, they interpret it is as I'm in war. In other words, if I want to improve the condition of Arabs who are living in refugee camps, I've got something up my sleeve. I am always suspect. They always think that whatever step I take is being taken for the sake of war. It's an impossible situation. David HaMelech is saying, woe unto me, I've lived with them. I know them. They're not going to change. That's the way it's just so mad. I tell you, like, there's someone looking in the hill of the money speak to us, to me, and have spoken to Jews in all generations. Yes? He's talking about all of them. He's both. And the Melda makes this very clear that he's speaking about the people of Meshach and Kedar. And remember, the people of Meshach and Kedar means like from Meshach to Kedar, from north to south. All the people living within this area. But the... And then there's a sentence here that I underlined in the Malgrim, where the Malgrim says, Shani shochein v'tok achai, ben b'nei Yisrael, v'hein sem im shalom, v'hu gavua yoter, v'nei kedar in Meshach. I live amongst Jews who hate peace, and to me, that's work. In other words, I can expect the people of Meshach and Kedar. I expect to be amongst the people of Meshach and Kedar, and that they should hate peace. But when I have to confront the same terrible phenomenon amongst my own brothers, Achai B'nai Yisrael, he says, that's the word. Ani shalom. Hadran shani shalom imahem. Though I am at peace with them. V'chi adaber imahem shalom. And I will speak peace. Hema lamilchama. Because it says, Ani adaber, when I speak peace, tochi kibani. What's going on inside, that's outside. It's all the same. I'm not speaking in the four tongues. Achab b'peh, v'achab b'leh. One thing is coming out of my mouth, and another is in my heart. V'hem yedavru shalom, they speak peace. U'gulibam yosimu, orvam b'sinatunam. And in their hearts they are laying the trap for me, because of their sinas chinam. V'zeh garuam neshach olam keda, sheratam guluya. It says, here, the Malvin is really now pulling together all of the pieces of this capital sinon. The hatred of all a Kedar and Meshach, I know that. Ra'atam the evil is Gunya, is clearly known. The Adafi Mehizahir Mehra'atam, and I know to guard myself, to watch myself. The real terrible thing is when you don't even know to guard yourself from Meshach and Kedar, when you think that their overtures of peace are real, that's a real tragedy. But then he says, but with regard to my fellow Jews, that's the unkindest cup of all. When they speak to me words of peace, and I know what they're waiting for is to get me when I'm down and to crush me. And unfortunately, the tzavah, sinam, is something that we have had with us, unfortunately, throughout all of our history. It's a terrible, terrible marker. Okay, next. Now I'm gonna go into the next, okay, we can go through another.
Shila Ma'alot. Rashi says, here it says, Shir HaMa'alot Ein L'Hamon, who is going to elevate Tzaddikim in times to come, to God Himself. And He says, I lift my eyes unto the mountains, the Ayin Yavol Yisri, from where shall come my aid and my assistance. Now what you have to notice here as we go through, and we're going to find this in many of the Shir HaMa'alot, there is a repetition of words, and the repetition of words sort of gives it its poetic tinge. I lift my eyes onto the mountains, and the number of the portions say that we're talking about somebody who's going out on a journey. And you're going to see that there are psukim over here that he's concerned about where he's going, doesn't know where he's going to, how certain can he be that this journey is going to end peacefully, nothing is going to happen to him on the road. It's a form of Shilat HaBerech. And I think that number one, it's most probably a David who has fled time and time again from his enemies. And the loneliest thing of all is when you're fleeing the home and you're out on the road, or call it the classic syndrome of the wandering Jew. V'ahim v'alavgein, I mean, we're into the singing mood. V'ahim v'alavgein, there that ends for the year. Where am I going to go to? Who's going to answer me? Here he is. He seems to be surrounded by the mountains. He's not in an inhabited area, but here he is. He's looking up. I lift my eyes to the mountains. May I in Yoho Ezri, here I am. I'm alone. I'm hated. I'm hunted. I'm fleeing. From where will come my aid, my assistance? And then it could be somebody who's with him who responds to him, or it could be that he all of a sudden realizes, what kind of a man are you questioning, I am asking. Of course, Ezri, may Im Hashem, my aid, my assistance comes from God. He's Osei Shemayim Vavet. He does it. He gives back into the Bitachon that we were talking about in yesterday's Tasha Shir, and we're going to see. He says, that's it. The one who made heaven and earth is the one who's going to take care of you. Now, you can understand the text of the psukim better by assuming that there's some that he's asking somebody. I lift my eyes to the mountains and I say, may I hear by Ezri, and the person who's with me says, listen, Ezri be in Hashem. Hosei Shemai was. The next part. Al-Gitain Lamot Naglecha. The fellow who's with him says, Al-Gitain Lamot Naglecha. He will not let your feet collapse. Unfortunately, this is a word that most in modern Hebrew is used. Lehit motesh means it can talk about a person who collapses either physically, emotionally, or psychologically. Lehit motetut of Ulam Versai, or those who are bemoaning the hit motetut of the Mandanone Habitachon of the Rashut HaPalestinai, the collapse of all of the defense organizations of the it's also the word mot. Yes. Oh, so I'm saying two things. It can be David speaking to himself, or somebody who's giving him a bracha. And this bracha is going to go through till the end of the chapter. You know what it's going to turn into? It's going to turn into a form of Shilat HaDerech, or Birchat HaDerech. Somebody is telling him, Al-Gitain Lamot Naglecha. He's not going to let your feet collapse. Al Yanum Shomrecha, the one who guards you is not going to slumber.
there are two possibilities. I went to a sinker 2 nights ago or 3 nights ago, and the ma'afteach or the shomer was looking the other way when I walked into the main door. So what did I need the ma'afteach for over there? Or what happens if the ma'afteach falls asleep? You understand? A drimmel tabiru. This is nishke ma'afteach. Don't worry, the one who's guarding you, he's not going to slumber on the job. Yes, Nina? Speak up. Not a matter of shouts, and you know what the English can do? The English can come up into the first row. There are two seats in the first row, I understand that. Yes, like all of the children who don't like sitting close to the teacher. Yes, Nina? Well, you know, I will buy it if that makes you feel good. Okay, I'll buy that this is David's mother telling you. First of all, you know what David's mother would tell him? You're going out into the field, pick another seven. That's true. Huh? And that's what she was telling. Yeah. Because if he's going into any place that's dangerous, she was telling Glob, Angelates in the Hang, stay home. No, it's stubborn, he's out there alone. And of course, by extension, it's talking about anybody who's being pursued, and by the greater extension, it's all of the history of the Jewish people. Hinei, behold, you know what happens in this one between the prophets before? In the prophets before it says, you know, he won't slumber. And then he says, what are you talking about? In infinitely stronger language, Hinei, behold, lo yonun, lo yishon, shomer yisrael. He will not slumber, nor even sleep, the one who shomer yisrael. There was a part of the shiur that I prepared that if I started now, we'll never really do it justice. I just want to tell you that when I read these psukim, all of a sudden it struck me that these two psukim can be proof to one of the great essays of the Meshachon. And I'll just tell you what the topic of the essay is. There is a major piece in the Meshachon where he differentiates between two words in Torah and in Ksuvim. They mean completely different things, the word al and the word lo. What's the difference between al and lo? Of course, what's striking over here is you have twice al in Pasuk 3, and then you have twice lo in Pasuk 4. And here is a classic example of precisely the chiddush of the Meshech Chachma. It's not so much a chiddush as it is looking at all of the places where you find it in Torah, you must reach a certain conclusion. And I can tell you what he's going to say, but its ramifications in so many different places are amazing. I mean, there's a chiddush, some people talk about it next week. Lo is always stronger and more demanding than al. Lo is, as we would say in Yiddish, loin is a question of al. No. An absolute imperative? No. Al is much softer. For example, there must be at least 7 or 8 in the Sefer Bereishis where it says, al no. Please don't. You never in all of Tanakh will find lo, no. I'll give you a number of examples. Yaakov says to Yosef in Pasuk Yechin, al no tikbereini in Mitzrayim, please don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Avraham is sitting by the entrance to his tent, and he sees 3 dusty Arabs out there. Al not tavor me al avdecha. He really turns to God and he says, please, God is visiting him, and in the middle of God's visit, his cell phone goes off, and he has to run outside for the 3 guys out there. And he tells the Rebbeim, I don't know if Tavra Miala Devil, please don't go away. Lot, I believe, is going to use similar terminology. We'll get to all of them. But the point is, Al is always softer. Al is request. Al comes with the word, very often, as we say, with the word no. Ein no elaloshim bakasa, Rashi brings from the Gemara every 6-7 times in Torah. No is please. So there's something about the word Al, and there's something about the word lo. Al is always either kind of pleaser or softer, and some of the situation of the Meshechacha are going to be where there are halachot in Torah where the word Al is used. The word that should be used is lo tochal chametz. He comes to one prophet. Al tochlu mimenu no uboshel mevushel bamayim. The lo tochidu mimenu aboshel. In Pasuk Bo, where he's talking about the carbon tetra, he says, Al tochlu mimenu, don't eat it boshel no. By the way, the word no over here is not like the word no anyplace. The word no over there means raw. Don't eat the carbon pesach. Please don't eat the carbon pesach raw, or bazel mevusho samayin, or cook. Key in shli esh. It has to be roasted. The local treated the metal of poker, and don't leave over from the 2 months. So the first halacha in this pasuk uses the word how. The second halacha in the pasuk uses the word lo. What's the difference? Why in one place how, and in the other place lo? He's so brilliant. Yes, you want to give it a... If I said he's so brilliant, you're taking the test. Yes? Public what? Yes? I fire. I'm in Shomea. She's saying that even in Pasadena it could be even David speaking to himself, so to speak. Don't let yourself fall. Don't let it happen. Keep going. You can't give in now. That's what you're saying? Can I do it well? Good. Back to that other passage, and that will really open us up for what we're going to talk about next week. And the promise is these two psukim, and I went through the whole Meshachot to see whether we quoted these two psukim, and he didn't. So at least I can see, add a chiddush to the Meshachot. When was the Korban Pesach supposed to be eaten the night of Pesach? Up until Chatzot. So he says, the relationship between God and the Jewish people changes dramatically at the stroke of midnight. At the stroke of midnight, when God brings Makas Becholos, and the process of the Exodus begins, then you know what? We now become beholden to God. Because from this moment on and further, it's Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoshem, Tichon Me'eretz Mitzrayim, thank God that God has put you out of Egypt. From Chatzot on and further, God can make demands, justifiably make demands on the Jewish people. Up until Chatzot of that great night, there's this, let's say, the courtship relationship between God and the Jewish people. He hasn't saved them yet, hasn't done anything yet. At that point, any mitzvah that he wants them to perform, do you know the best he can do? Please, do me a favor. The carbon pepper that it should not be raw or cooked, that's before Chatzot. You have to finish eating by this. So do me a favor, Yigalach, be good. Al tochlu mimenu no uboshel mevushel. Don't eat it. I know I can't tell you no when I close an hour. But when he talks, the second half of the halacha is, don't leave anything over till morning. That's already from Chatzot and further. There, God's relationship with the Jewish people now is one of master who can make them end. There's another pasuk like that. He says during the course of that night, Va'apen, I'll take you ish mipeta beito atfoka. As I said, please don't go out of the house. Why doesn't he simply command them? Don't go out of the house. Here is the second experience of the Meshach Chochmah, but he brings other children to it. I want to use this question. When something is so logical and so obvious, you don't need to use your heavy artillery. When something is so obvious and is so clear and makes so much sense, like, listen, there's death out in the streets. The Malach HaMashris is out there. Terrible things are going on in the streets. Oh, do yourselves a favor. Don't go out of the house until morning. The religion doesn't have to come with a divine, insisting command. Whoa, don't go out. Anything that makes plain, good, logical sense, you never need the overkill of the word low. The word low is enough. Even don't be foolish. I'll take to turn up the don't go. So this is how he begins to develop, and it's going to make a difference in a good number of sukkim at crucial moments. By the way, usually after I say this shem, the last time I said it must be 10 or 15 years ago, people go out and low crazy. They will be coming to me with children and say, I understand this chocolate house, I understand that chocolate house. By the way, if you want to bombard me with that, that's perfectly alright. Myself, Jimmy, a shikho machi. But here I came to these two children, and you see that one is in a sense a plea, or it can even be like, listen, David, how you came on Mozart Lecha? Listen, who's been anointed as king? You think he's going to let you down? It doesn't make any sense. Are you came La Mozart Lecha? You're talking about God. I am the Misham Lecha. And he's not going to. And then he says, nay, you should know. The second statement is, you should know the fact. He doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep because he's so mad he's crying. In the passage before he's Shomrecha, in this passage the Rebbe Shleim as Shomer Yisrael, here is a strong, powerful statement. He doth not sleep. He continues next week. You're going to be checked off next week if you brought your own Tehillim. And if you can bring a Tehillim with Rashi and the Tudor, that would even be better. Yes, Marsha? You've seen what?
The number
1 time. Oh, just one more. Yes. We're going to talk about all of these chapters when they're said and when they're not said.